The political gridlock around the nation's infrastructure seems to have broken. A bipartisan group of senators now agree on a $1 trillion investment in public works projects. The measure includes $550 billion in new spending over the next 5 years. Of that, $110 billion is to improve highways, $65 billion to expand broadband access, and $47 billion to combat environmental disasters. Now, the challenge is getting enough votes. But the Senate negotiators, including Alaska Republican Lisa Murkowski, sound optimistic.
This is also important to demonstrate that Republicans and Democrats can come together over really hard stuff to negotiate in good faith and to broker an agreement that is not going to work just for Republicans or for Democrats. It's going to work for the country. So it has been a long effort. There will still be a long effort going forward.
We look at what is in the bill and next steps in these negotiations with Democratic Senator John Tester of Montana. He's a member of the bipartisan group which led the effort in securing this Senate deal. Senator Tester, thank you so much for joining us. So tell us, what was the key that unlocked this deal after all these weeks of trying and failing? And tell us, what did Republicans give on? What did Democrats give on? What did each side get?
Well, look, we'll start with what we got. We got a lot. This is the biggest infrastructure investment in America in this country's history. And the jobs it's going to create, the ability for this package to be able to make us the premier economic power in the world is can't be stated enough. And look, I will tell you, the negotiations went on for a lot longer than I thought they were going to have to go on. But you know how negotiations are, Judy. I mean, it's about people covering every square inch and then going back and doing it three or more times. And then pretty soon they just get tired and they say, okay, we're going to do this. And I will tell you, you know, the 10 people that I worked with, the 9 people on the committee, and then the White House that came over, everybody to a person wanted to get to yes. And I think that's really the key, and that's why this happened.
I do want to ask you about the money that's in there, what it's being spent on. Highways, $110 billion. Broadband, $65 billion. Other big-ticket items like public transit, passenger rail, upgrading the power grid. Give us something that people who are listening to this can say, oh, I get it.
Well, look, it's all basically traditional infrastructure. And I will tell you, let's take a look at the water infrastructure portion. I mean, water is literally life. And to be able to have good water in these communities is a premium, and it's going to do a lot for that. We just came out of a pandemic where we've seen broadband being necessary for our society, yet there's too many people that are unserved or underserved. This is going to help bring our broadband up to a point where a state like Montana and other rural states throughout this country, and urban areas too, as far as that go, we're going to have good access to broadband for telehealth and distance learning and having businesses be able to grow their businesses and create opportunity there over the internet. So, you can go down the list, whether it's rails, critically important, making sure we're doing what we can do to have good passenger service, transit, the same thing. Everybody will feel the difference that this bill makes once we get it passed and implemented.
You were mentioning water infrastructure, and we know that Democratic Senator Tom Carper, your colleague from the state of Delaware, is saying he's unhappy. He doesn't think there's the right amount of money in here for replacing lead pipes and other clean water needs.
There's a ton of money in here for water infrastructure, and this bill may not fix every water problem in this country, but it will take a giant step forward to fix a lot of water problems in this country. And I think that if you're looking for perfection in this bill, you'll never find it. The truth is, this is a bipartisan, negotiated bill where everybody gives a little and everybody gets a lot.
Are you confident that you're also fully paying for all of this?
Yeah, well, no tax increases, no increase in the gas tax. And I can tell you that that was probably the biggest challenge in this bill, is try to figure out what those pay-fors are and make sure those pay-fors are real. To be honest with you, Judy, right now I can't tell you exactly what the pay-fors are now. I know they look a whole lot different today than they did when we released this bill about a month ago after the G10 had negotiated it. But nonetheless, I think we've lived up to the expectations of the Republicans on the pay-fors and the Democrats too, and the White House was okay with it. So I think it's going to be fine.
And the G10, referring to the group of 10 bipartisan senators, you were one of them. Senator, you mentioned that you think it's going to work out, but there is a money in here, $200 billion in unspent COVID relief. I think people are going to say, wait a minute, what was that money supposed to go for?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's going to be some questions asked about that. And I think that if you take into consideration, these are all CARES Act dollars. This bill was passed 15 months ago. And the fact that we didn't touch the rescue plan money and it's still there, I think we're going to be okay. But I will also tell you this, Judy, we're not out of the woods on this pandemic. Everybody needs to get vaccinated so we can get this thing behind us and get moving forward. Because if this flares up again, there is no doubt that it could end up costing us some additional dollars. And quite frankly, I'd rather put that money into infrastructure.
And are there the votes in the Senate right now to pass this?
I think we're going to get a good bunch of Democrats, maybe every one of them. And I think we're going to get a pretty sizable group of Republicans, too. And I think if we do, that really speaks to the fact that maybe Washington can start working again and start coming together and start doing things that this country needs.
Last question, Senator, the fate of this so-called companion $3.5 trillion social infrastructure bill, money for home health care, for education, for the environment. What is its fate look like? And now that you have Arizona Democrat Kyrsten Sinema saying she's not going to vote for it, and you need Democrats on board.
Well, look, I've been spending my time working on this bipartisan bill. As soon as we get this out of the Senate, then we'll really focus on the reconciliation bill, which is $3.5 trillion. When I go home, I hear about housing, I hear about child care, I hear about senior care all the time. And I think that depending on how this bill is structured, depending on how it's paid for, which we don't know either of at this moment in time, that will determine whether we're going to support the end product. But I have full confidence in the leadership in the Senate that we'll be able to come together and get a bill that's good for this nation once again. But the proof will be in the pudding. We'll see as time moves forth, and we'll analyze it every step of the way.
Senator John Tester of Montana, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Judy, thank you.